Welcome to Conversations in MedEd, the people behind the research. Hi everyone, I'm Danica Sims and I'm a senior lecturer in the Department of Education at the University of Oxford, and I'm joined by Vuyo today. Vuyo, would you like to introduce yourself to our listeners?
Thank you so much, Neke. Good morning, everyone. I am Vuyo from South Africa. I'm working for Sibuti. I work as an academic literacy lecturer back at home. Thank you so much.
So why are you here in Oxford? What's brought you to this university?
I'm here in Oxford because I got the opportunity to be part of the AFOOX Fellowship. The AFOOX Fellowship is more about recruiting the African scholars across Africa. And then I was one of being selected, and then I got the fellowship. That's what brought me to Oxford University.
And what are you doing here during your time in Oxford? So during your AFOOX Fellowship, what research are you looking at?
My research is more on the digital literacies. This is the research. My research is the gap that I've discovered during my PhD studies, that our students, they don't know how to use the computer. And then the time restriction from the computer labs, it makes it more to be difficult. And I'm doing a research on based also on my story as a first generation when I came to university. None of my family members were at the university, and then I was being fortunate to be at the university. So my research is more looking at like, what is it that we can be done to make sure the lives of the students are getting better in digital literacies. As we know, is this current, these days, is more about AI, this, AI, that, mm-hmm. but are we giving our students enough training, especially our, including our staff members? How can they navigate themselves?
Definitely. So do you want to share a little bit more about your journey into higher education? So what's your background? How did you get to become, you know, a lecturer at university?
Oh, my background is like an interesting story. I was a student leader and then I worked for student affairs. It has never crossed my mind that one day I will be a lecturer at the university. So when I finished my first degree, we went to Stellenbosch. I think Stellenbosch University, that time they were looking for transformation. And we applied Stellenbosch University to do our honors as a group of black students from UCC, because there was no funding to study further at UCC. So when I get to Stellenbosch University, Professor Mariana Fesser, she says I must be her student. I will be doing second language and teaching. And then I was asking, what does this has to do, what is this career will take me one day? And then she says, you are going to be a lecturer. And then remember, as black people, when we grow up, the only career that we have been, it was being embraced, it was the nursing and the teacher. This concept of lecturing, it was not something even to us to fantasize about. We thought that lecturers are the clever people in higher education. Like when you come to Oxford, you know, only clever people who come to Oxford. So I studied that second language and teaching, and then she used to take me to the lecturer to observe, and then she will tell me that I must assist the international office. The international office there at that time, it was the late Pumla Nespula, who will be giving me chances to lecture during her presence, in his absence also. And then after that, I studied my PhD further. Then I was a part-time lecturer at Mowbray campus because I was doing my PhD. That is how I ended up being a lecturer, but it's something that has never crossed my mind.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you want to tell us a little bit about your PhD. So what did you look at in detail?
My PhD is on the first year experiences. As I've said earlier, I was a student leader at university looking at the problems that the students are coming in, the transition from high school to university is always a critical time. Mm. So I was saying, my PhD, why can't I be looking in those experiences, specifically students who are staying on rest, as most of my varsity days, I think 110%, I was staying on rest during my undergrad and postgrad. So we're looking at the concept of peer pressure, like, you know, in peer pressure in higher education, it's either positive or negative. Mm. It's up to you as a person to decide. Because if you you want to take the negative peer pressure, you will end up being a dropout at the university. Mm. But you want to focus on the positive side, whereby you can hook up yourself with your peers who can assist you with your academics. Mm. You can also look out for mentors who can assist you with your work. You can end up doing it. That is what my PhD story is about.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely makes me think of academic literacies and being, as you said, like socialized into higher education, how important that peer network and that informal learning, almost that good peer pressure, can be for students. So I think that's quite a nice transition into your AFOX work, where you're looking at sort of academic literacies, but specifically digital literacies. Yes. So again, what sort of sparked that interest?
What sparked me in that interest is that, you know, when I came to university also as a first year, I grew up with a grandmother in the Eastern Cape. So we're not familiar with the mouse. We're even making a joke about the mouse. Right click, don't right click. I remember one time, you know, when you are putting the mouse wrong, like maybe you just highlight, all of your English is gone. Imagine now you're struggling even to talk the English, and then now you put it down. And also, I remember sometimes when you write those assignments and then we're using a floppy disk. Don't ask me about my age. If you were that you were that class of a floppy disk, you will understand the frustrations of using a floppy disk. You write your essay, and then you have to go to the computer lab, and then you print it to find out it's lost, the floppy disk can't open. That is why I'm saying these days, can't we do something better? Can we make the technology to be better for our students?
Definitely. And I know that your research is ongoing, but what findings do you have at the moment? Like, what have you found out during this project so far?
What I found out, I've sent a survey to the students, but the nice thing what the students are saying is that it's a good thing that I'm proposing, because they are highlighting that the time restriction from the university to be trained, especially when you came as a first year, we have never used a computer. Like maybe now you have to use a computer once on a Wednesday, how much training you will get there. So if we are proposing this, our project should be an app that they can practice it anytime. It's a thumbs up to the students. Mm. So they are also advising that the policy of the university also, like, they should be alert about the use of computer when they came to the university during the open days.
Yeah.
And also, somebody shouldn't be asking, like, why they should be alert, because they are university students. Our backgrounds are not the same.
Mm.
Some of the students from the survey are first generation, meaning that their parents, they are not exposed to what is happening in higher education.
Mm.
So I think those are the things that I've liked about the findings of the survey, and also from the interviews, students saying that the universities also, they must make sure that they get funding outside to upgrade the computers in the labs. Because you find out sometimes they say that you chew for 25 hours, the computers are not working. And also the lecturers, they must get training by themselves before they can ask them to be perfect in their way, because they are saying now, a lecturer will say, you must be perfect in using this software, but the lecturer doesn't give them enough training to do the work. So I think the training, maybe it can be done to both students and the lecturers.
Definitely. I think especially in technology, when it changes so quickly, and AI. These models are updating constantly, and I think, you know, we need to role model what we'd like students to do. And if we're unaware of what's happening in the tech space, it's hard for us to inform students. So I do think that both students and staff need to be upskilled.
Some students, they are saying also from the findings, the students, the university should employ more tutors that they can be involved with them, even from during the classes, even after hours at residences or other way around. But they should employ more tutors to assist with them, with the technology. But what we are advocating for the program is that they can use it without being assisted, but maybe down the line they can need someone to assist. But what we are advocating is that the app, it will give them the basics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like how to write your assignment. If the assignment is, say, like simple things of writing an essay, like simple things of how to open an Excel. Yeah. How can you code from Excel? Like all the simple things. Because I realize sometimes students, they cannot do certain programs because of the barrier of technology.
And it shouldn't be. It should be a facilitator, not a barrier. So I think you can't build a house without a strong foundation. So give them the basics, give them the tools so they can succeed in higher education. So today is the 16th of June, which is Youth Day in South Africa. As someone who works in South African higher education, what message do you have for the youth of South Africa?
I want to say to the youth of South Africa, they must make use of the opportunities. Opportunities are there in higher education. They must always make sure that, yes, they are always being busy with Facebook, always checking the celebrities' news, who's dating what, who's dating what. So they must make use of those opportunities. Also, as black academics who've been who wants to close the gap of the students of 1976. Remember the story. Those students, they find a gap saying that we don't want to be taught in Afrikaans. We want to use English as a medium of instruction. So what is it that we are doing now to use that English to be Englishing? So I will urge to all the students, like there are times in higher education that you find that students, they don't see eye to eye with the management. That is the case. It's not. It's something that is continuously. But I urge them, saying then, students, burning material and the buildings in higher education is not the solution. Because some of us, we strive towards, let's create a better future for our students. Let's close the gap. Is there anything that we can talk with people outside in other countries to come and sponsor our students? So if now they are burning ashes, it's not nice. It's not, because if something is been burned, it means that it can't come back. It will take time. So that burning mentality from our students, I think it should be disbanded.
Yeah. So instead of being destructive, trying to be constructive, how can we build something instead of breaking down what we have? But how can we sort of move forward instead?
Yes, I think there's better ways of negotiating with the management. I was also a student leader. I remember our time, our SRCs, they will lock the management up. They will bring those big keys as if they are from the prison. They will lock them up and then do those negotiations. But there was no burning. Nobody was harmed at that time. But what I've observed these days, the students are burning. You'll find that over the night, it was a mess. What was happening over the night, people's cars are burned.
Yeah.
Maybe some students are being injured. Some of them, they end up in jail. So you don't want to have such a record as a university student, because now if you have such criminal records, meaning that you cannot qualify to come and study in Oxford. We don't want people build the Oxford management. I don't think they want to bring someone who will burn their buildings, because those buildings, they have a history to tell.
I mean, I think anger can be justified, of course, and there's a time and a place for perhaps strong action.
Yes.
But, you know, even just linking back to Student Voice with your own digital literacy project, you are sort of an ally or a teammate for the students. You are aligning their needs, you know, your research with their needs. So you think maybe students might sometimes feel like academics are against them, but often there are academics who are trying to help and to be allies and to help change and transform higher education, like you're doing at CPUT. So you also mentioned being sort of proactive and looking for opportunities, and that includes perhaps looking for mentors. Maybe do you want to look back on your own journey? Have there been people who have helped you, or the lessons that you've learned? What advice can you give to students who sort of don't know where to start in terms of looking for opportunities or finding someone who has achieved, you know, the African dream? What advice would you give to South African youth today?
I will tell them, like, the best advice I could tell them, the smartphones that they're using, the opportunities are there. Mm. And then if you find out, if whatever you don't understand, go and knock to any door that you think you can be assisted. Like, sometimes I'm very active in the social media. Then there will be students who are reaching out to me and say, Dr. Vuyo, can you assist me with ABC? Then I'm willing to assist. But I believe also I'm not the only one. Mm. I was thinking in the future, maybe you and me, Taneka, sometimes we have a workshop online telling them, like, this is time. How do you make a successful application? Mm. What is it that is needed for in that application to make sure that you succeed in the future? So they must be looking up on those opportunities and then getting mentors to teach them, like, how can you write a successful proposal for a scholarship or a fellowship? Because I've been studying with NRF, and then NRF is the National Research Fund. So NRF throughout, I have to give feedback. Yeah. I have to give feedback. I have to apply and give feedback. I have to apply and give feedback. That is why the money keeps on coming to me.
Yeah.
So I always being curious to know. I remember there was this, I think that time I was doing my first year at a university, there was this guy from a radio, I think that was Mhlobene, I can't recall, who was saying, you will never know if that door is open until you go and prove it by yourself. Mm. So they mustn't just passing doors. They must be curious to know what is happening there.
Yeah, you miss all the opportunities you don't take.
Yes. And also, in order for us to work together to transform higher education, it's not about the lecturers. It's about the lecturers working hand on hand with the students. So it's a teamwork, because I can't do anything without them. For instance, in this program, I was supposed to collect a data, working hand on hand with them.
Yeah.
So it's a two-way thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Students need to take responsibility and be proactive, but lecturers also need to listen to students and be partners with them.
Their voices. Yeah. Our voices are important in influencing the policies in our education as much as their voices. But I think most of the time, they are voices, because they are the clients of higher education.
Yeah. Mm. And it comes back to, not to be cliche, but Ubuntu, you know, being a collectivist community where it's about, you know, I benefit, so you benefit, and together we benefit, and you know, looking out for each other.
Yes, I think some of the projects that we are doing as lecturers, maybe even talking about me, the concept of Ubuntu, that we care about the others. That is why we're trying to get such an opportunities in higher education, like university, like Oxford. You always tap yourself in the shoulder, like, did I make it? Really? Is it me who's here or what? So you don't want that dream just to be faded over the night because of the students. Mm. Because now what I'm doing in Oxford, I believe, like, when I go back in my country, maybe even this project, it won't materialize over the night, but we are looking at the long-term goal. Maybe in 2 years to 3 years, this project will materialize, and then we'll say to our student, this is the legacy that we want to see. Because one day when I become a professor, I want to be known of that professor who have done ABC for their students, the legacy that I've left.
Yeah. Well, I feel like your vision, your passion for students is very clear.
Yes.
And the legacy you want to leave, you will be successful in leaving.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Vuyo, for your time. Do you have any last sort of comments or messages for our listeners?
Yes, I want to say to our students, like, let's make education accessible and fashionable. And then we want to say to higher education, let's do a way of depriving students of not giving them access because they don't have a digital literacy background. Mm. So we want to take that stigma away. We want to build a culture whereby before those students, they came to the university in high school, mm-hmm. we want them to know the digital literacies before they came. So the culture of saying we are going to be deprived of access to higher education because of your digital literacies background, that culture should be carted away. And then let's make education fashionable and accessible. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I agree. The doors to education are always open.
Yes, they are always open.
Thank you so much, Boyo.
Thank you so much, Nikki. I'm so privileged to be here.
Such a pleasure. We're glad to have you.
Thank you.
Are you passionate about education? Are you interested in conducting educational research? Are you considering obtaining a formal qualification in health professions education? The University of Oxford offers a part-time, 2-year master's in medical education through the Department of Education in partnership with the medical school. We introduce students to numerous topics, theory, and evidence from the field, and support them in conducting their own educational research project. For more details, visit the Department of Education webpage. Links can be found in the show notes. I am Danica Sims, your host and producer. Thank you for joining Conversations in MedEd. Hit subscribe and leave a review. I love to hear from listeners, so if you have any comments or questions or recommended guests, please get in contact with me. Contact details can be found in the show notes.